Scheiße. Everybody say hi. Dabei habe ich ja. Weißt du was? Ja, natürlich.
Natürlich ist crazy.
Okay, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Everyone, so the last episode was a conversation with my mama. And today
is a conversation with your brother.
With my brother, yeah. Zimo, who, if you guys have been here for a while, we have referenced him many a time, my father and I.
Yeah. My,
many a time. Oh, okay. Many a time. Sorry, guys. It is. Can I hear my. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Layla? Hello?
You can't hear yourself?
No, I can't. Wait. This is just. Hello? Yeah, okay. Sorry. We're good.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually 2:18 a.m.
Yes, this was a late night decision.
This was a very impulsive late night decision.
I'm a little bit camera shy or audio shy, so I didn't think I wanted to do this, but Layla convinced me and I'm happy doing this now. It's pretty nice.
Zimo, I don't need your mic above your mouth. I need it mouth level. So,
how can I do that? Like this?
Perfect.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
All right. Okay, so if you've been a fan of the show for a while and you've been around for a while, bismillah, my father and I referenced my brother Zimo many a time. My mom on the show also, I think we mentioned my siblings briefly. So Zimo's finally here.
Yeah. Or Muhammad Azmi for non-family members.
Oh, non-family. I mean, I'm going to call you Zimo.
Zimo,
but
you
that's
can call
true.
Me Zimo, obviously.
Non-family members call him Muhammad Azmi or Azmi.
Yeah.
He has a ism mrakkab, a hyphened name.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm 23 years old, turning 24 in February.
February 1st, yeah.
I live in France.
Yes,
I've been living
do.
There for the last 5 to 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Just finished my studies, just finished my master's in September. Mm-hmm. Working, just started working.
So
it's
funny. Do you know how many times on this podcast I've said the education system is a hoax?
Honestly, it is, bro.
It is.
Honestly, it is. In France, it's better, though, because like you can have so many advantages and you don't really have to pay if you find internships and things like that. Like it can actually be something nice, unlike the US or the UK, you know, system where it's so expensive. Well, US way more than the UK.
I agree.
But it was a good opportunity for me. Education wasn't expensive. Got to live there with some of my best friends that are still living there with me right now.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, alhamdulillah, yani, it's been a nice experience. Yani, I've grown up in the last 5 years, obviously, like tremendously thanks to that experience, الغربة, you know?
الغربة, yeah, being in a foreign land,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
I think one of the things, and it's not to hate on other cultures and societies, but it's something that I always say, I can't live in a country where I can't hear the Adhan.
Honestly,
whenever
like I went back to Amman or whenever I come back to Dubai, it's one of the first things that hits me, like to be able to pray wherever I want, to be able to to be close to your religion, to be able to be close to your culture.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
when you're away from it, you realize what you're missing out on. You know, when we're young, we were born in it. You know, alhamdulillah, anamat al-Islam. Like we're born in religion, we're born in our deen. So yeah, we sometimes don't realize the blessing that we have until we go outside and we see how they have to really fight just to practice the religion over there.
To eat their food as well,
or whatever it may be, they really have to fight there to just practice their own religion.
Yeah.
You know, even. You know, like mixing their culture into, you know, they're French citizens. A lot of these, like Algerians, Moroccans, Tunisians, they're French citizens.
Yeah.
And they've lived in France and their parents have lived in France. But they, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to keep those things, you know,
intact.
Yeah, to
maintain your
deen. Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. It's a huge test for the people there, for sure.
But
Allah yirzukhum, inshallah. Inshallah, Allah yinajihum, yani.
Inshallah, ya Rab. Speaking of deen, guys, I'm wearing my Property of Allah sweatshirt, courtesy of Five Pillars.
My favorite brand, by the way.
Yeah, this isn't sponsored. It's actually not sponsored, but genuinely, I just love what they stand for. Farooq and Adam, they're the owners. Again, I met them last year at Seoul. I happened to buy a shirt and a hoodie for you.
Yeah.
It was a shirt and a hoodie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the quality was just great, the messaging, because it's the Five Pillars of Islam. And subhanAllah, since then, we've just built a relationship because Farooq's wife also watches the podcast and they're fans of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw them at Seoul again this year. And then I went and placed orders as well just to support because I love supporting Muslim brands. And this Property of Allah hoodie is just, Crewneck, sorry, it's just the best. So I like to give them a little shout out.
You know what? Just a fun fact. I think I told you about this.
Remind me before I forget. I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah.
But I need to order one of my followers from Five Pillars Haram. I promised her
yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
And I've been distracted with work. So please remind me after the show.
Speaking of ordering it for somebody, like Layla got me a Hub hoodie, like Hub, which means love. Hoodie in last year, I think.
Yeah.
And I went back to France, and all my colleagues, like I work in an IT firm where basically you can dress pretty casual, you can wear hoodies and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wear that hoodie a lot, and it's my most complimented hoodie. And this year, since I'm transitioned, you know, from a student to full time, my colleagues that were my tutors before got me a Five Pillars hoodie from France. And they like everyone, it's my most complimented hoodie. Like, we're not sponsored by them, you're not sponsored
literally
by them or anything,
not sponsored,
but their quality, the messaging, everything top, like top notch. My favorite brand for sure.
I'm also going to give a shout out to Favero underscore Pal. It's a Palestinian brand by Palestinian men made in Ramallah. I met them at MOTB this year. Just, I think the owner of Maqar is Mahmoud, and then the owner of Favero, I think he wasn't there. Actually, I'm not sure, but I don't know his name. But anyway, also great quality, great just fabric, made in Palestine. I love brands like, you know why? Because I was there with my girlfriends at MOTB and some of my influencers. And my influencers, they're like family. And I was like, girls, as a favor, can you go to this booth and just support? They're like, absolutely. Because they have a younger brother who's your age.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have you, who's your age.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, as simple as it is, these boys could be clubbing. These boys could be doing drugs, sleeping around. Yeah. You know what I mean? But instead, they're at
doing,
this booth.
Doing something for a
they're
cause.
They're working.
Yeah.
They're trying to make money. They're trying to take care of their families. They have a messaging. They have a purpose. And they were so sweet and welcoming when we went and spoke to them, and so humble and grateful. And I was like, they could be doing anything else. But they're on their feet working.
Yeah.
And I really think we need to support young men who are on their feet working.
Exactly.
Do
and working for a good cause, working for, you know, to like,
yeah.
I think what they're doing is beautiful. I wore something from them today. And
the Maqar, the green one?
Yeah. And one of my friends immediately, Falastini, noticed it immediately. He's like, I know this brand, Ramallah, love it. It's amazing. And you know, I really love that, because here in Dubai, you feel like there's, maybe not as much in, I think also a lot in Jordan, but here in Dubai, every time I wear something from a Palestinian brand, everyone recognizes it immediately
and
asks me questions about it immediately. And they're like, give me the name. I want to buy from them right now. Because honestly, it's not because it's Maktoub Ali Palestine, because sometimes you won't even know. It'll just be written in Arabic.
Yeah.
But it's because it's so well made. Like, these guys are doing like great, great things, way better than any like even like designer things that I can see around. I would rather wear it 1,000 times more than like any designer brand.
I agree.
Without
sure.
a doubt.
SubhanAllah, I agree. I fully agree. Okay. On that note, so Bismillah, is there anything else you want to share about yourself?
Nothing that important. No, I think that's pretty much the gist of me. Nothing really that interesting other than that.
Okay. No, everything about you is interesting.
Thank
I'm
you,
always
Lulu.
Talking about you on the
Thank
show.
You, Lulu.
Even Jouairi and Layla, because every time we were at MOTB and every place I went into,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, for my brother. They're like, Layla, you're obsessed with your brother. Everywhere you went, it's just, I want to get for Zimo.
You know, me and Layla always had a really special relationship since we were younger. Not to say that I didn't have a really special relationship with Shireen. Shireen lives in France with me now, and I do have a really, really special relationship with her now. But when we were younger, like really young, me and Layla spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
So that's also something that, you know,
forever
trauma connection,
bonded.
You know. You know, I love both of my sisters a lot. It's, you know, no one more than the other. I can't say that.
That's an absolute lie.
I can't say that.
That's
but,
an absolute lie.
But,
you love me more.
But
just
the experiences are different. You know, I see Shireen way more now when I used to see Layla way more when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I think life has just balanced out now at this point.
SubhanAllah. And Shireen's a mom too. So I think you also have a different experience. You get to see Shireen be a mom, which is lovely.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's honestly beautiful.
Okay. So when I asked you what you wanted to discuss,
mm-hmm.
you said you wanted to discuss. And I thought he said something really interesting. I have to credit you. I am sure this camera is like a little to the left, but it's okay. I'll like edit it. But it's giving me, I can't, like I'm noticing it. Bismillah. So he said something behind the scenes. And when I asked him, what do you want to discuss? My cats are having a seizure.
They're having a really fun time.
Okay. Anyway. When I asked him what he wanted to discuss behind the scenes, he said patience, but then he elaborated and he's like, it's even, I think, more poignant. Oh.
Wow, I don't know about that.
I did that.
Poignant?
Okay, but it's
pugnant?
More.
Pugnant?
Pugnant? Poignant? It's more.
Detailed? It's more.
Nuanced than yes, patience. And he said the act of not rushing.
Yes.
He's like, they're two different things, to not rush, to take your time. And I was telling him, but isn't that patience? And he's like, no. And I agree. I think patience is a part of it. But to not rush, I think it's an art.
Yep.
The art of taking your time.
Yeah. And everything in life. I'm talking about everything.
This would have been the title of my video because I've titled videos The Art of Saying No, The Art of Whatever.
The Art of Taking Your Time is a
no,
nice one.
No, it's going to be a conversation with my brother. Everyone relax. Do you know why? Yeah. Because if I title it The Art of Taking Your Time and we talk about anything else, people are going
to
be like, no, I needed
need
more.
Be talking about, yeah. Yeah, honestly, I get that. But like, I think it was one of the first, like, I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions or whatever
yeah,
that
neither.
Is. I don't really believe in any of that, you know, but what I do believe in is looking back at your year and just being like, or just yourself in general. It doesn't need to be at the New Year's. It can be in 6 months in, 3 months in, saying, okay, what can I do here? What can I do to better myself? And I think what I've been noticing a lot about myself is that I do tend to rush everything, like, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, when it comes to career, when it comes to personal, like, milestones, when it comes to friendships, everything is super rushed. Everything is... You know, I think a lot, but sometimes thinking a lot doesn't mean not rushing. Sometimes thinking too much leads to anxiety, leads to stress, leads to rushing and compulsiveness. Exactly. And I think that's something.
Impulsiveness,
yeah. And that's something that we have, you know, in the family.
I was going to say, in
general, we do have it. Everyone has it, kind of. But like, and I noticed like the first signs of when, like, since I came back and like had it in Dubai for this trip, everything was just like, don't rush. Stop rushing. Like, stop rushing. Take your time, like, enjoy these things, enjoy everything.
I agree.
Like stop rushing everything that you do. the cats are having a...
Literally everything shook. Yeah. I'm so sorry,
no,
guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, Habibi.
Yeah, so anyways, so...
You were saying don't rush, take your time, and you were even actively telling yourself while you were here, this specific trip.
Exactly. So that's why I really wanted to talk about it, because I think as, you know, you're also young, but I'm like, still almost a child, you know. I'm 23. Like, I think that, like, young people, we tend to be super ambitious. I think you are too, and I think we want everything to happen now. We want everything more.
I wasn't very ambitious.
Really?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Like, I get
credit,
that.
I literally was telling mom the other day because she was saying something about you, and I was like, she was saying something about I was being a little maybe too cutthroat with you or whatever, and I was telling her, I'm like, no. I'm sorry. This is one thing that I will not waver with.
Yeah.
If I see him not doing something incorrect, and it's not that he was doing something haram, God forbid, but it was just like, for example, his health. I feel like he could be taking better care of his health.
I think so,
you
too.
Know? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So just something like that. And I was like, no, this is something I don't joke around with. No.
Well, what are you doing? Wait, let me throw him something. Maybe you can throw him something. Hey.
I've never seen him this excited.
I've never seen him.
But you know what? I'm going to take it as a good sign. Sorry, guys. You know the cat I adopted? God bless his soul. He's almost 3 years old. And it's just now for the first time that he's actually being very comfortable.
It's the first time that he came next to me in bed today. He came and got
I think
and...
he's starting to understand that this is safe and we're not going to abandon him.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him. But yeah, bismillah. So I was telling mom, this is one thing that I shan't waver with. I shan't. If I see something, I have to. Because I told mom, I was like, had you not been so incredibly harsh with me in my mid-20s when I was really just lost, I wasn't being guided, I was kind of not doing all the...
they just ran like
By
and
the
crashed
way,
on
the
each other.
The listeners get so annoyed when this happens. They're just like, Leila, khalas, just stick to your points. And I agree. But yeah, I wasn't on the right track. And I wasn't doing things that were going to better my life. And I wasn't tapping into my potential. And it was wasted potential. And it was, to me, now looking back, I was like, a waste of breath, my existence.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for mom's harshness, and mom was rough.
Yeah.
Like, mom was You're a waste.
Mom is unforgiving when it comes to things that she wants to see for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And you also, you'd call me so many times and you'd be like, and we talked about this now, which we can go into, but you were like, Lily, you need to stop quitting your job every year. And I couldn't make it a year into a company.
Yeah.
But subhanAllah, I was meant to be a CEO. It's just, you know?
I think that was your path. I think that you needed to go through those things to realize that you didn't want to do those things.
Yeah, but my point is, there was a reason. We were talking about the harsh
ambition.
Ambition, yeah. But I was, yeah. So I wanted to say, you and mom, especially you and mom. You guys, ana ma am bafham.
Why can't we just keep them in the room?
Because their litter box is in the guest bathroom.
Dumb.
Okay. Bismillah. But yeah. We have to zimo actively ignore them. Mm. But my point is, you, the harshness, the harshness.
I don't think this is gonna be like a full episode. I think you're gonna have to go reels on this because guys are
it's
insane.
It's gonna be a full episode. Give them 2 minutes. They're gonna fall asleep.
Okay.
Give them 2 minutes. So anyway, bismillah. The how harsh you guys were. And it was brutal. Like, truly, truly brutal. It allowed my ambition to find the correct path.
Yeah.
Because I think I've always maybe been ambitious, but my focus was on all the wrong things. Ambitious in the wrong things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I get that. I can see that. You know, and mama is really like that. Because, like, first year of uni was very hard. It was the year of COVID, so right before COVID, and I was failing like tremendously, I remember coming back here, and that was
you were here during COVID.
Yeah, and I was like, so COVID happened. I had to come back here during my first year of bachelor's, and I remember telling mom, like, we were here in this living room, and I was telling her, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to change. I want to do everything, and she insisted in very, just like you said, in her harsh way, you're gonna pass
she
these
makes
exams.
You feel like a loser.
Yeah. You're gonna pass these exams. You're gonna pass these exams again.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, like, thanks to that, I was able to continue and I didn't restart and I didn't have that. And it's because she pushed so hard. She pushes because she wants to see us succeed. Like, sometimes you think about it, you're like, why would she push other than for you, you know? And it's true. It can be harsh sometimes, but I think you'd have to go with the harshness sometimes and find your way in it.
There are certain circumstances where there is no other way.
Yeah.
You kind of just need to call it what it is, rip the band-aid off, rude awakening.
Our whole family is like that, though. Yeah. We don't have any... Yani,
we don't have a filter.
Yani, we don't have any sugar coating.
Except for with Shireen.
Yeah, no, honestly, even with Shireen, maybe Shireen's the most one where we sugarcoat.
I don't have a sugar coat with Shireen anymore. I've realized...
Honestly, I don't either. Mm. Like, khalas, with more time now, we've gotten to a point where you can be just like, this is what I feel,
Because I think we saw the benefits we reaped from it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
And
we saw now how we could make it and we have the potential and it's possible.
Yeah.
I think we're so terrified of going backwards.
Yeah.
That it's just like, I'd rather you give it to me straight than me waste the time or a day or a minute not course correcting.
Yeah. And I think my friends sometimes have a hard time with that because I treat sometimes some of my friends that I really feel like they're my brothers. I treat them like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just harsh and I say it straight up and sometimes I can say it in a joking manner. It's happened to me actually a few days ago and it's like, yeah, like, I'll try to hit them where it hurts so they can notice that if it's an insecurity, that means you need to change it.
Mm.
But I only do that with them, like, when we're alone or when we're around people that, like, you know, I won't do it in an uncomfortable situation.
In a private
exactly.
setting.
Exactly. Like, if it makes you insecure, maybe you should change it. Like, why did that joke annoy you so much?
Yeah.
So better you hear it from me than you hear it from some stranger.
Mm.
And sometimes they have a hard time with that. They're like, no, that's not the way you should come. You should sugarcoat it. You should. Like,
I can't do that.
Hakim, and I can't.
I can't.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm just like, I think I'll just shut up, you know? And then I never end up doing it anyways.
I used to talk a lot. Like, I used to not be able to shut up. And I used to think if I told my friends how it is or just shared because I care, it would all be okay.
Yeah.
Like, they'll trust that it's coming from a place of goodness. But extreme insecurity, sometimes people can turn you into the villain for saying something.
Yeah.
So now I stay quiet. But if you ask for my opinion...
Yeah, you're going to get it straight up.
Oh, I'm not going to lie to you.
You're going to get it straight up.
You're going to get it straight up. So, the art of taking your time.
Yeah. The art of not rushing. Yeah. So... basically, that's what I really want to do for the... It's not... like, just like I said, there's no New Year's resolution. This is for the rest of my life type of thing. You know, when you rush, you tend to get really excited, really hyper, and you want to do everything super quick, and then you end up never doing it long term. You know, it's like people that get really hype and really like want to rush the gym. You know, they want to see results right now, really, really fast. They end up going for a month and a half and then they stop, you know. And,
if even.
And I've been there, done that, probably there right now. You know, that's something that you need to go through and realize that you don't rush these things.
Yeah.
You take your time. You do it step by step. You do it at your pace, you know, and you do it well. You just do everything you do well. So that's what I want to do, you know. That's what I want to do. Art, the art of taking your time is also the art of doing things well. That's what it means.
Yeah.
You know? And when you take your time, you do something properly.
How would you differentiate? Because something that I get a lot from my followers is I'm a perfectionist. How would you differentiate the art of taking your time and doing it well with maybe the OCD of perfectionism?
Yeah, okay. So what I would say is that, like, if you're using this excuse of being a perfectionist to not do things, which I see a lot of people do.
I see it a lot, it's, you really are my brother.
Yeah, if you're using this excuse of, oh, I'm a perfectionist, that's why it's taking me 10 years to release this shirt that I want to do. You're not a perfectionist. You're just not sure of what you're releasing.
Thank you.
You know, you can take your time. You can do it well. But at some point, you just need to let it go. You just need to, trust in yourself. Be secure in what you just did. Trust the time and the effort and the passion that you put into whatever you did, and just let it, and just do it.
So I was thinking about this today in the car, because it's something I get asked about a lot, and it's something that took me a hot minute to find the sweet spot. So bear with me, okay? Yeah,
take your time.
Bismillah, what am I trying to say? Okay, so there's the, because it has to do with the perfectionism, but to me there has to be. Because some people will tell you be realistic.
Yeah.
And then some people have those insanely big dreams, right?
Yeah.
And then how do you balance the both? I think be realistic is one of the worst advice
I can give anyone. I think there's no balance in the both. You need to just have insane dreams.
I agree. But my realism is Allah. The most real thing in the world to me is God.
Yeah.
So my sense of be realistic is my foundation in Islam and my relationship to Allah and my Prophet alayhi salatu alayhi salam. And that foundation is my anchor, that no matter where I go or where I am, I can come back to that foundation.
I see that.
So there is the mabadi, you know, that are rooted into the ground that don't move like an oak tree. Yeah. You know, and then the horizons of crazy wild dreams is in all the promises Allah has given us.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're
saying. So I can have those big dreams and I can go and I can do and I can try and I can fail and I can dream again and try again and all of that. But what allows me to be able to do that without hurting myself or people around me or wasting my time or is my roots.
Exactly. I really like what you just said right now.
But that's why I tell people find Allah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So the thing is, when you truly believe that...
Thank you. Everyone likes what I say.
No, it's beautiful, because I truly believe that when you have this faith in God, when you say that everything that happens to me is the best possible outcome, that's what I hear when you said that, you know?
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, so you can have these crazy dreams and you can have these beautiful dreams and you can fail once, fail twice, fail 1,000 times, you'll always tell yourself, it's okay, that this is what God wanted and I know what God wants for me is the best possible outcome. How can you be sad? You know, you can be sad, but it goes away so fast because you, if you truly have this belief.
But you see the sadness for what it is, a temporary human emotion.
Yeah.
But not a sadness that will turn into a depression that destroys your life.
Exactly.
And those are two very different things.
Exactly.
To feel sadness or joy or a little bit of anxiety, but to recognize that it's just a temporary human emotion rather than a maverick that's about to drown your whole house. You know, those are two very different things.
Exactly.
But the point of what I was saying is most people, they'll tell you that I got lost in the sauce. Masalan, I tried that dream or I did this or I did that or masalan, I planned or I invest. There's so many, but they get lost because there's no anchor to go back to. So my thing is, because I've been doing this for a while, like trying to work and trying to make money, right? And truly, it's only when my point of, you know how the Christians have WWJD? What would Jesus do?
What would you, I see that.
I did the same thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where, and I actually, that's, what would Jesus do is actually a really good example of just, you have to go back to your roots. So my thing is, my Islam and my Allah.
Yeah.
Everything else comes after. So I move with that. Is this a good decision? You can, any exactly. hadith, any ayah will tell you.
Yeah.
Just even in the sense of sometimes taking risks, you know what I mean? Yeah. Even that, you have teachings
risk
in
management,
Islam.
Risk management is a well-discussed, thought-out thing also in Islam, yeah. There's no aspect in life, in everyday life, no matter, and you know, a lot of times I hear people say, you know, I have this really, really good friend that I think every time we talk to each other, we put each other more into the, like he motivates me so much to get more into my deen. And I think before it was vice versa, and it just keeps going forward. And he's one of my closest friends. And every time we talk, it's just a new realization that there's no aspect of life, modern or past, that's not fully discussed and fully explained in Islam.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Yeah.
From A to Z.
I agree.
So there's no, oh, but this is how it was before and this is how it... No, that's not how it works.
I agree.
It's all there. It's all for you to just find out, you know, read. Iqra.
Ya Allah.
You know,
I agree.
You know, like you need to read. Like a lot of people will talk, never read anything.
Oh. Iqra. Talk a big game too.
Please read. Like, read a minimum. Even if you don't know how to speak Arabic, even if you don't know how to read Arabic. Me and Layla don't have the best Arabic in the world.
I mean,
you still try. Translate, look, read. Relax. When you have a harder time reading, it's even better for you if you try to go and find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's nothing worse than somebody that speaks perfect Arabic, born in it, everything, mi bil mi, or whatever it is, and that doesn't go and try. So when you're having trouble, don't hesitate to just go and try and learn and translate.
Yeah,
and it's not that
hard.
No.
I agree, and especially that we live in a day and age, where there's a plethora of information.
It's all there.
All there.
It's all there, and it's all like verified. You can find the good stuff.
Yeah, but I know there's people will tell you sometimes it's too much, and I don't know where to go and the right source.
Yeah.
And can I also say something? And this is me going
That's
out.
That's like
the
people that
the
said
limb.
That they're perfectionists.
Yeah. But this is me. No, I will say it because I get a lot of people that DM me, Layla, where did you get your wisdom or your knowledge? Because I think it's the way we speak and the way we allow people the room to approach without judgment and without fear and without the we're not going to allow you in.
Yeah.
Because there is a sense sometimes, especially with religious communities, where you're not made to feel welcome.
Then
and
that's a wrong community.
I know. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf spoke about this. He said, if the religion divides, it is not religion.
Yeah.
These are the people that are dividing you. Religion, in its essence and true form, is meant to unite you. And if it is not uniting you, then it's not being applied the right way.
Yeah.
It is not the religion. And it's just that simple.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree. I fully agree with him. And so I understand what they say because it took me a while. But that's why I always say, Masan Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, to me, go watch him.
I love that guy. I love that guy. I think whatever, like all the things he says so far of what I've seen, I fully
same.
Agree with.
Me too. 100% on the same page. Bismillah, my point was, there's just so much information out there and it's hard to find, to sift through sometimes all the noise. But anyway, the art of taking your time. So
take your time and looking through it.
Yeah, take your time.
So don't rush. You know, this is a really important thing. Like, religion is a really important thing. It takes time. You know, like, it does take time. It takes a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
It's step by step. You know, it's health. We talk about health. You talked about health before and you told me I should take better care of my health.
Mm-hmm.
People should take care of their spiritual health or their mental health or their
most
religious health.
Most
exactly.
Important.
So that takes time. You know, you don't just go and read the Quran once and you're just like, I got it. It's fully done. That's not the way it works.
I mean,
you know, and it's the same thing when it all with all of these things. You don't go to the gym once and you're done. You don't go for a year and you're done. Same thing when it comes to your religion.
Yeah. You keep it up all the time.
Exactly. So to see through, just take your time.
Yeah. Beautiful, Zimu.
Nice cycle, huh?
Yeah, nice cycle.
You came back to square one.
So, okay, about the art of taking your time.
Yeah.
Why do you think so people will question this, like, why do I rush? Why do I not take my time? Why am I in a constant state of anxiety and fast forward through life and I can't take the time to stop and smell the roses?
There's something that a friend told me once and I think I just base my whole life around it. It's amal wa tawakkul. Like, there's two things that you need
to
do.
Have you ever watched this podcast? Do you know how many times we've talked about this?
You said
this?
That? I've never.
Let's go. Let's do
Sorry,
it again.
Sorry, my bad.
Let's do it again.
Amal wa tawakkul. So there's two things, you know? Like, there's a certain thing that God asks you to do. Yeah, if you want something, you're going to have to do it. You're asking for rizq. You're asking for hada. It doesn't come just like that.
Yeah.
You need to put in some work. You need to show that you want it.
Yeah.
But there's a certain point where that stops, where you've done everything that you could do. And that stops. And now there's the time to, now's the time to tawakkal Allah.
Yes.
And people don't know where that limit is. And they don't trust that limit. That means they don't trust their God.
Can I take it a step further, which I have said on this podcast before? Because you said there's a no, and then you stop, and then there's tawakkul. I think they come hand in hand. Yeah. Because, and this is what people seem to really, really, really not understand. I'mal wa tawakkul is not I'mal with panic and anxiety and fear and stress and what if it goes wrong and complaining.
Yeah.
Complaining.
Complaining is a big one.
It's the biggest one.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, okay, عملت اللي علي, I did what I needed to do, and now عم بتوكل على الله. طب the عمل that you did was
so filled with everything negative, yeah.
It was literally an apple dipped in poison. Yeah. And then you're like, توكلت على الله, and then you don't get what you want because the words you speak become the house you live in.
Yeah.
ولأن شكرتم لأزيدنكم. And then you don't get what you want, and then you blame Allah.
Yeah.
Most people blame Allah.
I think you should do things with a passion. I think you should do things with purpose. You should
do things with the utmost unwavering faith and yaqeen that Allah has your best interest in ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I understand.
Allah has your best interest. So when you're aslan moving from a place of panic, is that not you distrusting Allah?
I think so.
I would say so. And some people will be like, no, but this, but that. I understand some levels of fear, of trepidation, of life has beaten you down, or you really have no money, you're not going to pay your bills, and it's scary. Been there, done that. Yeah. It's one of the most terrifying, broken feelings. Like, it really beats the life out of you. I understand. Regardless, is that not you not trusting Allah?
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's why there's multiple levels of iman. There's multiple levels of iman. And that's why, you know, when I said I don't believe in resolutions, again, this is like the fourth time I say it.
It's okay.
But like, you need to look at yourself every few months.
No,
I think this is one of those things where you need to look at yourself almost every day and be like, where's my iman at? And where can I, and how can I get it to this next level that I want to get it to? I think that's one of those things. When in every action you do, you have this complete faith in God that it's going to be the best action for you, that God is with you, that God is going to make sure that everything's okay, that he's going to protect you, and that nothing's going to hurt you. In every step, it's a beautiful level of iman, and not everyone has that. And I think it's something that everyone should work towards, obviously.
I agree.
That's something I would want to work towards, at least.
So on one of the episodes, Dad and I mentioned, but it's good, I think, to reference this again. I'm not sure if it was Imam Ali alayhi salam that radiyallahu anhu. I say both because I don't know which one's right. But
In some hadith they say,
I know, yeah, they say
like
both.
In Sahih al-Bukhari and they can say it both. So yani, so radiyallahu anhu alayhi salam, like asam min sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. But it's just so people sometimes don't think you're on one side or another. I always say both.
But bismillah. So I'm not sure if it was, but I think it was Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked, "Kayfa arafta rabbuka?" How did you know your God?
Mm-hmm.
And he answered, "Bikasr al-azaim," which means by the breaking of my plans.
Yeah.
Every plan that I had set in motion that I wanted to achieve, that Allah broke and replaced with something else, something better. Or just simply did not give me because it was not meant for me. That is how I knew my God. And I really, really, really love that because I even said this with mom on the podcast when she was here right before you. Everything God has given me was better than anything I ever prayed for.
Yeah.
And everything he didn't give me when I wanted is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I see it now. And this is something that I'll even humble myself and I'll tell you. I see it now after things are good.
Yeah.
At the time, during the time, I wasn't like, oh, عسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وخير لكم. Like, I would say it to myself, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't really believe I would achieve certain things or God would bless me with certain things. Which, again, it has nothing to do with Allah. It has everything to do with my lack of faith. Because, and I really do blame myself because That was me not trusting God.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Allah is the best of planners. Amen. You know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not just the best of planners. I don't know how to really explain this. It's, I think when you have insecurities, it's going to be my hot take.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my hot take. I think when you have insecurities and when you, not in, actually, wait, I'll say this in a better way. Okay? I'll say this in a better way. This is going to be my hot take. If you say you believe in God, but you have insecurities, you have anxiety, you have panic, you have depression, you cannot say you fully believe in God. Because believing in God, who has promised you, he is here for you. He has told you he is the best of planners. He has told you, place your trust in me and you will never be disappointed. And you still have the audacity to panic.
Yeah.
Then that's, you cannot say you trust God. That's my hot take. I think
you can't say that you fully trust God. But I think you can still say you believe in God, but your belief in him is weak, maybe.
Yes, it is a weak belief.
Your belief in him is weak and should be stronger.
But that's the thing. Yeah. To say that you believe in God is a big claim. It's a massive claim because it comes with a lot of weight. It comes with a lot of Islam, surrender. Because you are surrendering your whole life, your whole existence to Allah.
Yeah.
You cannot have insecurities, you cannot have anxieties, you cannot have fear, you cannot have panic. If you say you believe in God, you believe in him, in what he promised you.
Yep.
And he promised you that if you put your trust in him, you will never, ever, ever be disappointed. He will never leave you. You take one step towards him, he comes running towards you.
Yep.
So when I told myself this, and as it was a crazy concept to grasp at first, but I was like, you can't say you believe in Allah and be sad. Khalas, it just doesn't make sense to me.
You know, I think, well, we've already talked about this before, actually.
In the Quran, لا تحزن أن الله معنا.
لا تحزن أن الله معنا, but he was sad. that means he was scared, and he was scared, and يعني. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is one of the most beautiful men in Islamic history, you know, and if not, yani, number two, and you know, like, at the end of the day, like, I think the fear can be there. It's putting it down quickly and replacing it with belief in God quickly. Because belief is going to be a natural human reaction.
Mm.
I mean, the fear is going to be a natural human reaction. But suppressing it quickly and letting it get replaced with faith, with belief, with everything is going to be fine. Allah ma'i, you know, Allah ma'ana. I think that's belief, you know. Not having it is robotic. But that would make us angels, you know.
Because, I agree, it would make us saints. I agree.
You know the difference.
But is that not what we strive to become?
You know, we don't have, you know, like, you know, angels in Islam. The difference between angels and humans is that angels don't have free will in Islam.
Mm.
Okay, angels are on command. So everything God commands them to do, they do.
They do.
Okay. So that's the difference.
Tamam.
We have free will. That means we have the free will of getting panicked and getting scared. And some people don't believe and some people believe. And some people go up and some people go down. And some people do good things and some people do bad things.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's as if you're saying, in order to truly believe in God, you should never have temptation. Which is not true.
Okay.
Which is not true. بالعكس. We don't, in Islam, what's beautiful about it is that we don't have sin in thought. You can't sin through thought. You can't think a sin and sin through in your mind. You need to actually do it. So what's beautiful about Islam is what it's telling you is that you will have temptation, but you will be rewarded when you tell yourself no.
I understand. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
But do we not strive? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And then they were told, I think the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was told, بعت رحمة للعالمين.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what I just said, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, بعت لأتم مكارم الأخلاق. That means I was sent to be the exemplary of human behavior to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it is also said about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, if I'm not mistaken,
He was sent as a mercy to mankind.
Yes, sent as a mercy to mankind. So if we are striving to be like him.
Yes.
And to live like him.
Yes.
And to react like him. When he told a grieving mother, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّطْمَةِ الْأُولَى, she was crying over her dead son.
Yeah.
And he has lost children himself.
Yeah.
Said, but true patience is at the initial shock, which means even when you lose a child, you're supposed to say Alhamdulillah, which we see in Palestine every day now.
Yeah.
Hence what it is possible. There is a level of this insane trust in God and this insane tawakkul ala Allah and absolute Islam to Allah. And that's what, why are people reverting back to Islam when they see that? Because there's something so powerful about not panicking, not being anxious, not being sad, trusting Allah fully. That's what attracts me more. That's what I want to emulate. That's what I want to strive to achieve. It's not when I see someone sad and then, but oh, they're trying to make it through with God. I love that, but I love that more.
Yeah. I think.
Do you see what I mean?
I think that's. Completely
there's something
correct.
Powerful about it. When you see that,
I understand what you're saying. I think what you, that's what you're striving for.
Yes, obviously that. Can't say I'm there. No,
you know.
But I'll tell you something, and even Baba has mentioned it on this podcast as well. Alhamdulillah, I don't panic the way I used to. And you saw me even when I drive. I don't stress.
Yeah. That's a nice story. This hadith. There's an accident that happened in front of us the other day, and Layla literally reacted. Exactly like how like they would react on the tutorial for like how to like drive properly. Like it was perfect. It was the like the first initial reaction, the brake, the like sign, the triangle sign or whatever. It was like perfect.
Yeah. And by the way, I wasn't always like this. Actually, I've always been well in a crisis.
Yeah.
I go real quiet. Like even my heartbeat slows down. Alhamdulillah, I think this is a gift from Allah. But in general, when I started to actively and consciously say, no, my first reaction is going to be Alhamdulillah. And it takes some time. You rewire your brain. You have to notice yourself the first time, the second time, the third time. The quality of my life increased tremendously.
Yeah.
So that's why I advocate so much and maybe harshly of don't be desperate. Don't be sad. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Because the quality of your life increases dramatically when you put your faith in God.
Yeah.
And I'm living proof of that.
Yeah.
As many of us are.
I agree with that.
Are you stumped? Do you not know what to say?
No, I know. No, I think I would just want to clarify something, because if anyone's listening to this and maybe they are sad and they're not feeling good and they are feeling depressed, especially at young ages, 15, 14, yani, Layla, we've all been through those ages where you think your life is horrible.
Yes,
and you want to like, ahna, unfortunately, we were raised in the time where 13 Reasons Why was a thing and Netflix
that ruined
so many young girls' lives and men and young boys' lives.
I agree.
Really, really horrible. Like those type of shows I really like despise now. Mm-hmm. Because when I look back and see like all of these girls that were wanting to jump out of their window. Ish.
Do you know how much it affected me, that show?
Bro, it affects anyone, bro. You watch a show, it's fully full depression. So for anyone that's watching that, I think Layla at some point said, if you do feel sad or you do feel anxious, you can't say that you believe in God. That you believe in God. I don't think so. I wouldn't agree with the word believe.
That's fine.
I wouldn't agree that I would say that I don't think that your belief is strong.
But I said you couldn't say you fully believe. Fully I said believe. The word fully.
The second phrase was
clock
better.
Me on that.
The second phrase was better. Yeah, you said you did say that afterwards, and I do agree with that exactly. And I think that for a lot of these young kids, you need to understand like, As I don't know what's your audience range, age or whatever it may be.
I have a lot of younglings.
So yeah.
And
so,
funnily enough, I have a lot of mamas
yeah.
who go like, I made my daughters watch you.
Yeah, it's just
the
beautiful.
Mamas, God bless
That's
them.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Allah yakhalina kull ummahat, I hope.
Ameen, ameen.
So I would say that for all of these young kids, like girls, boys, whatever it may be. You think that you're like, oh, like I'm going through this phase where I'm sad and I'm Absolutely. Depressed. So if I'm sad and I'm depressed and that means I don't believe in God and I shouldn't believe in God. That's not true.
Get
through this phase. You're going to get through this phase. We all been through that phase. We've all been through that depression and all of that thing. That's not even real. It's honestly, you want the answer to it. You're just ungrateful. You're just
I
ungrateful.
I thought he was gonna be less harsh than me, and I was like, "Wow, Zim was really making me look cutthroat." No, but then he's like, "Actually, you're just ungrateful.
You're just an ungrateful little kid."
agree.
And that's fine. You'll get over it. And one day you'll be really grateful for everything your parents are doing for you, everything God's done for you, everything this, anyone close to you has done for you. Because right now you don't see it because you think it's just granted and that it's all supposed to be there. Trust me, it's not supposed to be there. You're lucky.
I agree.
You know, you're very lucky.
If you think you're sad, I agree. If you think you're depressed, you're just ungrateful.
Honestly, yani,
yeah.
I would say there's maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I could talk about this because I don't know about clinical depression, like really like these people that have like a mental disease.
Yeah.
A mental health disease, that's something else.
I'm talking
about those teenagers, you know what I'm saying? That aren't really depressed. Like, you're not depressed.
Even when you're in your 20s and you think you're like, depressed. Like,
let's not talk about somebody that was going through real tragedy, that's lost family, that's lost Hada. I can understand somebody going through a really tough time and trying to pick themselves up, that's trying to reconnect with God or trying to reconnect to something just to get out of it, than some kid that's just been watching TikTok.
But even then, Zimo, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Even then, because I was the most depressed when I was my least grateful. And
yeah, it tends to come together.
It does come together. But truly, I was my most depressed when I was at my least grateful.
Same.
Because even no matter how, and we've been through some tough things.
Yeah, we have, without a doubt.
We've been through some really tough things. You know what I mean?
Alhamdulillah, though.
Alhamdulillah. But even then, I look back and I've shown gratitude for the things that I had, even if it was so little. But if I had to actually take into consideration what I had and take the time to think about it and take the time to say Alhamdulillah, I would have realized I had a lot more than I thought I did. But when you laser focus on everything you don't have, it's very hard to see what you have, even no matter how small it is. But if Allah decided this is what I have to have right now, but that in itself is a blessing. Yeah. Because no matter how bad you think you have it, someone has it worse.
And you know, there's something that does kind of piss me off. Well, I wouldn't say piss me off. It kind of annoys me. It's like, there's some people out there, like we said before, that actually have clinical like depression because of severe trauma.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people's stories or a lot of those people's situations aren't getting really looked at or really, you know, like not aren't getting put on the front page of things because a lot of these like other people just want to ride the thing of I'm also depressed, I also have anxiety, I also have like all of these mental diseases. That kind of, it's like you're taking the weight away from the thing. If everyone's depressed, then what's the value
of depression?
Of depression. Everyone's not depressed. There's some people that are, and these people need to be taken care of, and these people need to be helped. Like really, really, like mental health is not a joke. But the everyone is depressed, then khalas, let's just not take care of anyone. Then
I agree. I might sound like a broken record. Mental health is not a joke. Ma'ak, with you, to an extent. But also, I really think a relationship with Allah can heal most of
it. It can heal everything. Without a doubt, it can heal everything.
I think when there's something chemically wrong, especially because of certain side effects, or that's a whole different story.
You know,
we're talking about... But I wanted to also say something before I forget, okay? The reason why I say... But this is just how I say it. This is how I vocalize certain things because it is what helped me. And alhamdulillah... The people that DM me that this rude awakening helps them, I appreciate that. But to me, when I say, no, I had to come to the realization that I didn't believe in God when I was depressed, when I was sad, when I was anxious, because how could I say I believed in Allah when I was feeling all of these negative emotions that showed that I distrusted Him and I just distrusted in the promises He gave me. When I had that awakening of, wait, if I say these things, but I feel this way, then I don't actually believe in God. I was like, no, I can't not believe in God. Yeah. So then I had to change how I behaved and how I reacted to things and my emotional meter. And that's why I say it, because maybe someone kind of goes like, no, I need to believe in Allah. So I need to change.
You should believe in Allah.
Because you need to change, not God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why sometimes saying something as harsh as like, no. Because can I say something as well? Saying we believe in God, it's a big claim.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, you said that before, and I do believe in that.
Do you know what
because
I mean?
It's not ishi zghir,
It's not ishi zghir. Like, and you need to be adil mas'uliyah.
Bizzabt. And there's things that, you know, there's rights, and there's, did you say in French, droit et devoir? There's a right and a duty, you know? Yeah, so you have a lot of rights when you enter Islam, and it's beautiful, and you have a lot of these rights, and if you do everything right, you're going to get all of these nice things, but there's a duty onto you as a man, as a woman, as a child, as everything. Like, there's things that you need to do, you know? And it's not that hard, honestly, in my opinion. I think it's, if you take it step by step, just like we said before, and don't rush, and just try to learn, it's going to be really easy and smooth sailing if you're just willing to just let go.
And let
Stop tensing up so much. And just,
yeah, let go and
just
let go.
And just let it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
From where I stand, my duty towards God matters more than my feelings. And I think this is where me and most people don't get along.
Yeah.
Because I want to put my feelings aside to do what I need to do to better my connection to my God and my Prophet.
But that's the whole point of it.
And that's what I say.
That's the whole
there
point of it.
There are certain things where your feelings have no place in it.
Yeah.
There is a duty, there is a responsibility, and there are certain commands, and khalas, it is what it is. But this is also important. There needs to be some things that we don't waver with. You have to, as a human being, have certain morals and certain foundations and a certain ethical compass that doesn't waver.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just...
And otherwise, you don't have any values. They're not values if they waver.
Yes, but even then, some people will tell you, no, I have values, and I get it. But just, this is, to me, the biggest difference. There needs to be an anchor. There needs to be an anchor of morals and roots and a compass that doesn't waver.
Yeah.
And this is your starting point at every time, no matter what life throws at you, no matter how deflected you become or where you... Where you find yourself, there is a route to go back to that allows you to then correct course and keep moving on bihad dunya. But that, to me, is my duty towards Allah.
Yeah.
So my feelings, my fears, my whatever transpires in life, it doesn't matter as long as these don't move.
Yeah.
Because if this moves, the whole house crumbles.
Yeah,
khalas, it's done.
Yeah, I get that. You know, like, when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was zakat, you know, and we were, and alhamdulillah, Layla put me on something that's beautiful, if you want to give them a shout out.
Yeah, I always give, I should give them a shout out here, I talk about them on my Instagram, but my friend Fadi Musallit, beautiful Palestinian man with a beautiful wife and a beautiful child, his wife's name is Zira, their kid's Hassan, so we call Fadi Abu Hassan.
Mm-hmm.
Fadi started The Giving Family 8 years ago, but I think he only gave it a name quite in the past few years or something.
Yeah.
And he feeds the labor workers every Sunday. And in Ramadan, they meet up every day. Last year, I just went the last day, astaghfirullah, but I will go every day this year, inshallah, if I can. That's the intention. And we started this year by donating 750 meals on the first Sunday of 2025.
Alhamdulillah.
And I went, my brother wasn't able to come, but he donated the money. But I went, and so the kitchen brings the meals and we also then distribute. So there's a sense of community where you can donate the money and you can also attend as a volunteer and distribute and give the workers the meals, you know, yourself, which is quite a lovely experience.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. It's I'm pretty sad I didn't get to go, unfortunately, but like... alhamdulillah, I'm happy I got to participate. There was something else where my friend really needed me to be there. Yeah, what was it?
A sushi taste test.
And honestly, the friend that I talked about before that...
you guys give each other religious advice.
And he gives me the best advice in the world, is opening something for... His wife is opening it very soon. He's young, he's my age, but he got married last year, mashallah alayhi. And she's opening something that's really amazing. It's beautiful and... inshallah, Layla, you'll get to taste it.
Do you know where it's opening?
It's actually one of those cloud kitchens or whatever it's called. Night kitchen. I forgot what it's called. Yeah.
Like Katopi?
So, yeah. Basically, in the beginning, it's going to be like that, just to check the feedback and everything. But bidnillah, I told him to send you like a whole taste test and everything so you can taste it.
Oh, yeah,
and
that'd
say
be
what
awesome.
You think about it.
Bring Sarah on board.
I think it's going to be really top notch. So, anyways, didn't want to go away from zakat. But you see, that's a duty.
A duty. You can't be embarrassing us.
I say duty?
You said a duty. Like duty. A deity?
I said duty. But you shouldn't say duty. That's so... that's very...
Just a duty. You're going to make me trip now. Like poignant. poignant.
So your responsibility, that's a responsibility. So that's a responsibility, you know, and sometimes no matter how much money you have, no matter how much little you have, like it does, like it, like you see feelings can come in the way, your ego or whatever. Oh no, but maybe not right now, but maybe a little bit later. I should give a little bit less, so I should just give just the right amount. And that's something, since we were raised by both our mom and our dad, our whole life was to always give. You know, this is what I tell my people like around me all the time, and it's what I remind myself, like when your hand is closed, okay, nothing goes out, but nothing comes in either.
Yeah,
you know, it's so like, okay, like you're happy with your few girsh, nothing's yeah. going out, okay, but you're leaving no space for anything to come in. And seeing you doing all of these things, like even this camera setup and everything, it just shows me like how much you're outgoing, like you're willing to open up a little bit to learn these new things in order for things to come in, you know.
Yeah.
So so you know, like I think I just wanted to mention zakat, because that's something that, you know, that everyone should keep in mind. Everyone should keep in mind, because it's a pillar. We're talking about five pillars in Islam. Yeah, it's the fifth pillar in Islam.
You know, it's one of the things I really think about, because I'm like, okay, I love sharing the giving family, and I do, but like I didn't share that I donated meals. You know what I mean? And because I'm not trying to. Oh, by the way, guys, it's 7 dirhams a meal. So if you can, go to the Giving Family's Instagram page, and the link is there. And I think on the link, it's 10 dirhams a meal. And it's just, it's amazing. But my point is, I was like, do I share, do I not? And I didn't. That's something I kept to myself, because it's interesting. When people do charity online, a lot of the comments will say,
like, why did you do this online?
But why are we so comfortable seeing Kim Kardashian on Instagram, but with charity, like, why are you doing this online? Instagram should only be about creating a community and being in service of others. To me, social media should strictly be that. At least, yashadullah, this is what this podcast is. You know?
Honestly, like, I think there's a good side to it also, because, like, I wouldn't have known if you didn't tell me. Like, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have, like, known anything about it if you didn't tell me. You have a pretty big following right now, honestly. Like, sometimes I underplay it with my friends, and I'm like, yeah, she has a little following. They're like, little. No, like, Layla has a big following now, mashallah alayha. And, like, people should know, like, these are things that you support. These are things that that are doing good work for people in the UAE, for people in Palestine, for people in the Middle East.
Fact.
I think it's, yani, I think you should share. Maybe you should. Okay, I personally never like to share anything. Like, I don't have Instagram anymore. I don't have anything. Layla knows that. Like,
yeah.
I don't share anything about my life. But since you're already in that, yeah, share at least that these charities exist. But share the links. Share you should at least share that these things exist.
No, 1,000%
to motivate people to go and donate.
Fadi
for
is
sure.
One of my closest friends, so 1,000% I'm gonna support him, and I'm gonna do all of that. I think it's just so important to give back. Giving back changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think, surprisingly, do you know? Eh, Mohamed.
Is that me?
Oui.
Damn. That's not me. That's you, by the way.
Impossible. Oh,
it is you. Yeah, you should say sorry.
Ah.
Say sorry. And don't say it in French, so they know.
Tu sais, c'est pas mon portable, c'est l'ordinateur. Okay. It wasn't my... It wasn't my phone. It was my laptop. Okay. That's some haram.
Yeah, so it wasn't me. Okay. That's.
I'm just gonna say one thing, and then if you want, we can start to wrap it up. But do you know who actually had the biggest effect on me when it came to charity? Ooh. Was your sister,
Shushu
Shireen?
Yeah.
This girl, my sister. We really like. I don't talk. We really came from...
You know, that's the second time, so everyone can see
this. Excuse me, from the jamia, okay? But Shireen, truly, mashallah alayha, she...
But how is that possible?
Because my iMessage is connected to the computer, and my portable. But my portable, it's silence. Silencieux. J'ai dit c'est silence.
Ah,
il est là, Layla. Le français, ouais, le français ça. N'est pas bien. Okay, so anyway, bismillah. You know, honestly, Shireen, God bless her soul. So we didn't really come from... We didn't have money growing up. It is what it is. Okay. That's why I laugh when people comment like, oh, it's so easy to talk when you're so privileged. I'm like, I wish.
Alhamdulillah, we're privileged compared actually, to other people. There's always worse. But you know, like, yeah, no, we didn't have the most privileged comment.
Actually, alhamdulillah, I love it. I love that people look at me and think I didn't struggle. Because I don't want to give off a vibe that I'm... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather give off an old money vibe.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
No, I'm not mad at it. Yeah. So anyway, Shireen, God bless her soul, this girl would have nothing. One day, she'd have 5 dinars, which is... about $3, no, which is about $7. No, what?
Yeah, $7. Yeah,
which is about $7.
$7, like 15 dirham, yeah. 20 dirham, around no, something 25. Like that. 25. 25? Mm. It's times 5?
5.18.
That's crazy.
Come on now, bro.
I didn't.
So, so anyway, she would have nothing, and then one day she'd have maybe 5 dinars, which is about $7 or 25 dirhams, and she would go to Taj Mall, the mall in Jordan. She would go to the bathroom on the floor down that's on the supermarket yeah. floor. She would go to the bathroom and she'd find the cleaning lady and she'd give her 5 dinars.
I remember she was doing
and
that.
And we would walk home. And walking home in Jordan is not a thing,
it's
by the
not
way.
It's not a...
No, it's not a pedestrian-friendly nice place. Like, you cabin.
It's a beautiful country, though. I love Jordan. Jordan. Like, I love Jordan. Jordan
is but you just,
country,
you
but
don't
it's not
walk
a... It's getting more pedestrian, but... At that point, when was this? Like 2013?
Before.
12, 11, 10?
Yeah.
Not pedestrian.
Not you don't walk home. It's not a thing. And then one day, I remember we were in the car, in a cab with our friends, and I don't remember where we were headed. And on the other... So we're going this way. We're going this way. And then there's the road coming here, and we're at the signal. And on this side, on this way, coming back on the other side, is a man... carrying, you know, that big plastic bag with the cans. I think they used
and
to collect them
cans for trash bag, cans, yeah,
to I think for recycling or to sell them or something.
He gets money for every single can. He gives
there we
back.
Go. Yeah. And Shireen opens the car. This girl has this thing in her. I don't want to cry. I love that girl. She has this thing where it's almost like those people in Majdubin. When she sees someone in need, she turns off. She will think. Is I just need to get to that person and I need to help. She will forget her surroundings. She will forget where she is, who she's talking to. Yeah. Even if she's in heels and a mini dress, she would not recognize where she is.
Yeah.
And she opened the door of the cab like just it's like
you know, Shireen.
I'm finished my story. And then she opened the door. She ran across the street to the other side in the middle of traffic, found that man, took whatever was in her pocket, gave it to him. And we had to U-turn to come collect her. And then she was like, empty your pockets now. And she told the ammo, like, wait. And she looked at everyone, empty your pockets now. Wallahi, the taxi driver gave him money.
You know, the thing that Shireen has that's really special, I think sometimes I tell her that she needs to not do it because it's honestly, like, crazy. Like, it's beautiful. Shireen can live other people's experiences more than them. Like, she'll feel somebody's sadness more than that person.
Yeah.
And she'll live their sadness. And, like, if you tell Shireen a sad story about your life, and then you'll turn around.
Guys, I'm so sorry. The camera turned off, even though the battery said it had 5 hours of life. And I just sais pas. Je ne comprends pas. But, Bismillah, Zima was saying something about our sister. Oh, the mic wasn't close. I'm sorry, guys. It's 3 a.m. Let's just... 3:23 a.m. Let's just...
Wrap it up.
Finish what you're saying about Shireen. She can feel other people's pain.
Yeah, I know. Shireen can actually feel like other people's pain. And she'll you'll tell her a story about something sad that happened to you, and you'll just go on about your day. You know, most people, that's what they do. They'll just like sometimes just throw all of this bad stuff onto you,
push.
And then they'll like move on to like on in their day.
It's okay. This is the big boy we adopted, but he's. He's a kalbuza, fat boy. Yeah, sorry.
So most of the time, like, people will tell you something and it'll be probably very harsh or very sad or whatever. And then they'll just go on their day and khalas, they just throw whatever they need to say. And most of the time, the person listening will just be like, oh, okay, sorry, like, that's really sad. And they'll go on their day too.
Mm.
Shireen's not that type of person. Shireen will feel your pain for the next 2 weeks.
I know.
Like truly feel it.
I know.
And, like, more than you. To the point where it's like, Shireen, like, I tell Shireen, feeling it more than them. So sometimes you need to either stop talking to these people or cut that thing. But it's a beautiful thing that she has. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's like to really be truly compassionate and empathetic like that. Like, it's like so much empathy, and I think it's something that I lack, and that's what
No, you don't lack empathy. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
As I've heard it from a few people before, that I think that I should be more empathetic.
No. These people are telling you you need to be weaker, or you need to tolerate their BS a little more, which is two very different things.
You know, maybe. No, maybe.
Because I think there's a fine line between empathy and being self-sacrificial. Because empathy at its core and the way Allah intended is a beautiful, beautiful gift. And God help you if you lack it. And God help you if you are around someone who lacks it. Yeah. To be empathetic, to want for your brother what you want for yourself, to feel someone's pain and to want to better them and help them and be the crutch that they use while they're getting back up on their feet. This is a mercy that Allah has bestowed in our hearts towards one another.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line between that and being self-sacrificial, where your empathy allows other people to walk all over you, where your empathy allows you to feel too much of other people's pain, where they can move on and you're left in the slaughterhouse. That's derived from weakness and insecurity and lack of self-worth, because you latch onto these other things in order to feel something. And it's a fine line. It's a very fine line. Sha'ra.
Yeah, and I think also being empathetic doesn't mean letting go of your values for that empathy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you're putting yourself in someone else's shoes, which is empathy. But that doesn't mean letting go of your values while you're putting yourself relax. Like, you're like, okay, I'm putting myself, which is me, in your shoes, and what I would do in that situation, what I would feel in that situation. Mm. Not what you should do or what like you would do. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference.
So me, what do you think's wrong with the dating of today?
The dating of today? Everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. Me and my friends talk about this all the time. The whole thing is wrong.
From a 24, soon to be 24, soon to be 30-year-old's perspective. Let's go.
We have wrong models in our life. We were just talking about this, Layla. We have the wrong models in our life. When we're looking at who we want to be like, you know, like what couple we want to copy, we're looking at the wrong ones. Simply that.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
instead of looking at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Aisha radiallahu anha, yeah, or Ummul Mu'mineen, you know, like, and instead of looking at that, we're looking at Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, like you said it before.
I've always referenced, you know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadija.
Beautiful also. Beautiful.
I've always referenced. And the story of also Fatima and Ali. Because yeah, those two stories.
Beautiful stories.
Yes.
It's all of those stories are beautiful. And you know what? Like, those are examples of how you should treat your wife. And how a wife should treat their husband. And how. You know,
but this is something that people really also tend to forget. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you are the best of you to your wives, and I am the best of you to my wives. And people really don't want to focus on one of the most important... No, he said... Did he say the best of you are the best of you to your wives? Yeah, to your women.
Yeah, to your women.
لِنِسَائِكُمْ,
yeah.
But also in his... the Prophet ﷺ, in his final sermon, in his last khutbah, he said, be good to women.
Yes.
And be good to women... is not best in no, but because of this, but no, let's get it from this angle. It's very clear. Be good. Take care of women.
You know, I truly, like, I don't want to take this down like a very negative road, but like, me and my friends talk about the end of times a lot.
Okay, bro, I'm asking about relationships. But actually,
but no, it's connected. It really is connected. Like, and like, when you look at the landscape today of everything, it's landscape, just like,
bro. You.
Big word, huh?
Big words. Love that. Yeah. What's the word I taught you?
What was the word you taught me? Lethargic?
Yeah.
I used it the other day with friends and they were like, yo.
Relax
with the big words.
He got sick, so I was like, are you feeling lethargic? And he's like, what?
What is that?
Anyway, yeah, so the landscape of today's dating world.
The landscape of, honestly, the whole thing. But if you want to, like, let's go deeper into the dating scene. But also, there shouldn't be so-called thing called dating scene, which is really weird. Saying that, the reason it's wrong, like, you're telling me, oh, what's today wrong with today's dating scene? It's the fact that there is dating scene.
Dating is the wrong word. I'm very anti-dating. I've said this on the podcast. But I was going to say what I meant to say, actually, to better it, is with relationships today.
You know, yeah. Okay, so getting to know the person under the right circumstances.
Even after the marriage.
Okay.
Divorce is at an all-time high, and statistically speaking, women ask for divorce most of the time. Women are the main requesters of divorce.
Yeah.
And a lot of the feminists, whom I despise, will argue that, oh, it's because we finally know our worth and what we deserve and we know better. I'm like, if that's what helps you sleep at night, baby girl.
There's multiple situations, I think. I think there's like, kul ishi illo, like, you know, like it's a it can be a different context.
I also think men aren't men, and I've also said this.
I think the first thing, if the man's not following, is not doing his duty. Like, there's a reason why responsibility. Since I'm saying duty wrong,
you said it okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's why there's a right of divorce for women in Islam.
Yeah, there is.
There's a reason why it's the only religion that allows that for women.
Yeah.
It's because if the man's not doing his responsibility, she has every right to tell him to leave, and that she's leaving.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's her right. Under the right circumstances. But God doesn't like divorce.
It doesn't like divorce.
Just because he gave the right to both doesn't mean he likes it.
Yeah, and doesn't and mean you it, should abuse you should, it.
Exactly. And you should always push for your marriage. You should always push for the success and the health and the well-being of your marriage.
Absolutely.
For you and for your kids in general.
Absolutely. Now, I just think men aren't men anymore.
I think men aren't men anymore. I think that that's a big part of it,
like,
also.
It's crazy, you know, to me when I post the reel saying, a real man would do this, and they're like, oh, a woman shouldn't tell a man what a real man is.
I don't think that's true. It's going back to the same thing. Aisha radiallahu anha used to tell a lot of times, you should be like this.
Yeah.
Because she saw what a real
man is.
Beautiful, most perfect man was.
Absolutely. Alayhi salatu salam.
She saw it, and she could say, that's how you're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
You know, because a lot of them used to say crazy stuff. You know, there's a hadith that says once, that a man said that, oh, you're not allowed to pray in front of the donkey and in front of the female. And Aisha radiallahu anha, like, looked at him as he was saying it. And she's like, where did you hear this from? She's like, oh, I heard this hadith. And she's like, that's wrong, because the Prophet used to play with nothing between him and the Kaaba but me.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like he I would be in bed and he would pray. Like, I would be the only thing between him and
him
the Kaaba.
And the Kaaba, yeah.
So she would put men down and be like, no, that's not what being a man is. That's just completely, like, sexist rubbish, and wrong and rubbish. And at that time, at 700, you know, the year 700 or the year 600, she would tell them that's complete, like, rubbish. Mm-hmm. What you're saying, like, makes no sense. And so women can tell men how to be men. But a lot of these women these days are telling men how to not be men, which is the real problem.
A lot of women these days are also telling men how to be men when they don't want to be women. That's
very
crazy
true.
To me. That's
very true.
That's lunacy. I don't know. It's topsy-turvy town.
It's hypocrisy.
It's the biggest hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think.
But I don't understand when it became controversial for me to say a real man does what he says he's going to do.
That's
and
right.
And then a lot of people will come in the comments, but isn't that just a human attribute? Yes. But women can be a little flamboyant, or we can be a little use a little bit of hyperbole. Women can lie a little bit, fib. It's just human nature. But men, you are not a man if you lie. As a man, when you lie, it weakens you. It takes away from your manhood. They're two very different things. And it's not to say that women can be pathological liars, but women fib, women withhold, women don't have to promise you something and then
really execute at the end of it. Subhanallah.
As long as it doesn't mess with your dignity or the safety, doesn't put anyone in a position of danger, then it's fine. But as a man, you lie?
Yeah.
No. Astaghfirullah, you cannot. You cannot. Not to be dramatic, but you actually cannot. As a man, you are not allowed to lie.
You know, or lie or not hold your promise. Exactly. Like, I agree with you 100%.
Oh, yes. This, to do what you said you were going to do.
Subhanallah, me and, again, that friend, I truly love the fact that he's married, and he's really a huge motivation for me to get married, because I just look at it and it's beautiful. And hopefully,
I want to say something. Hopefully. But I say something before you continue your point? Don't forget your point. Do you remember your point?
Yeah,
I remember. Okay, don't forget it. So the first day you showed up here, when you were saying, is married, and then I looked at you, because I know you attended the wedding last year, so I know he's married, wallahi yahmihum. But I looked at you and I was like, when are you gonna get married? Getting married is completing half your deen. And you're like, no, I don't know what. And I was like, no, I'm gonna stop you right there.
No, you're right.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
I should get married soon.
You should get married soon, because
I probably will.
I hope
I probably
you do.
Will.
I'll tell you why. Because to me, you speak about so highly, and how he's built himself and he's worked really hard, and this beautiful wife, mashallah, that he has, and this relationship, and just, you know, all of that and that kind of life. And you're like, mashallah, he's living such a beautiful life. And he's heavy on his deen.
Very.
Very heavy on his deen, which I, everyone knows. Heavy on my, bro.
Yeah.
It's all I do. It's all I research just so I can come and sit here and do this. Heavy on my deen. It's the only thing I care about. So I literally posted a video yesterday where I was like, you need to find the people whose life you want to emulate, who you see what they have and what they've achieved and how they're living and their moral compass. And there's something about it that's so attractive. And you're like, I want a piece of that. No, may Allah give them more and more and more and more. But I would also like something like that. So to me, it's and like those boys in the beginning that I mentioned, that they could be clubbing and drinking, but they're out there working and hustling and representing Palestine in the most beautiful way and making hard-earned, honest money.
Yep.
And there's no aib in work. So that's why to me, I'm like, you've said this about Sif. So I'm like, if you're seeing something good, that's beautiful, and there's something about it that you appreciate, I would stay with that, because that's your heart calling for something.
Yeah.
And getting married is completing half your deen.
Yes, it is. And honestly, like, we were talking about that 2 days ago. He's like, if I can give you any one piece of advice, Azmi, it's like, when you promise something, make sure, be careful what you say. Because mm-hmm. once it's out of your mouth, and once you say it in a tone where it's like, I promise you, you better hold your promise.
Mm.
He's like, I did it once. It's the biggest regret of my life. Like, and it was outside of his marriage. It was just a general situation where he's like, when you say something, like, it removes the whole value of everything you're going to say later on if you don't hold it.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if one time you didn't do it and 1,000 times you did it. That one time is going to have an effect no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. And also, it's crazy to me that it's controversial to say a real man does what he says he's going to do. And this has nothing to do with women. We are talking about the essence of manhood.
Yeah.
As a man, you cannot lie. It weakens you.
Yeah.
It takes away from your manhood. As a man, you cannot make a promise with your chest.
Yeah.
And then not follow through. Because then your word is worth nothing. And at the end of the day, when you die, anything from this dunya, you don't take with you, you leave behind. But your promises, your actions, your follow-throughs, those you best believe you take with you.
Yeah.
And they dictate the course of your life. As a man, you cannot lie. You are weak. You are not a man if you do not follow through on what you said you're going to do. Point blank, period. And it's not what about women. This has nothing to do with women.
Yeah.
This is strictly about you, a man.
A man in every capacity, in every situation in his life, not only when it comes to relationship and everything he does, when it comes to business, when it comes to friendships, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to himself.
Yeah.
You know, a good friend of mine, one of my roommates, his name is Zaki.
Omar Zaki?
Yeah, and Rami also. Yeah, and Rami Abu Kalai, like two friends that I really love. And that are my roommates and that I love deeply because they're really like my brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something that we talk about a lot. Like,
chill.
You know, when you promise something and you don't like follow through,
deliver,
okay,
yeah,
that hurts for everyone. But when you promise yourself something and you don't follow through, nothing hurts more. Because, yani, you know, you just prove to yourself that you're not trustworthy. And if you don't love yourself, like, and if you can't hold a promise to yourself, then what value do you have in general for this, for the humanity, bro? Like, you can't even do something to yourself. So that's why I used to like, we always talk about this all the time. If you say something out loud, be careful. Don't say it out loud. Don't say it in front of us. Because the second you say that you're going to do something for yourself and you don't end up doing it, immediately you look worse in front of us.
Yeah, because
when you don't do it, we're going to remember. Even when you think we don't remember and that we forgot and that we're more focused on us, we remember that you promised something to yourself, that you didn't do it. And that shows me that one day when you'll promise something to me, you won't do it.
Yeah.
That's how men work, by the way. We see how you do your own life, like how you act with yourself, how you act when you're alone and in groups of 2-3, that whole thing. And then we just, honestly, it is judgmental, but we do see, and we make a whole picture of what type of man you are.
But of course, it's not about judging you in that sense where people go like, oh, don't be judgmental, but I will treat you according to how you behave and the effect that you have on yourself and on those around you, including myself. If I see that you don't follow through on your promises, if I see that you lie, if I see that you are lazy, if I see that you tell someone you're gonna do something and then you don't do it regardless of the repercussions of those actions. Of course, that will have an impact on how I treat you henceforth. Mm. Of course, I will move differently with you.
Yeah.
I will have my reservations now with you. Yeah. I may not want you in my inner circles. I may not trust you with the people that I care about,
yeah.
and rightfully so. And I would hope that people are treating me accordingly, because if I also start to see people step away from me, there must be a reason.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
And this is why you need to be held accountable for your actions and your words. Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to hold yourself accountable. That's absolutely the biggest one, you know? Because sometimes people aren't going to hold you accountable.
This is true. I said this once. I was like, who's gonna come check me? But Allah will check you. You know who's going to hold you accountable? God.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And also, I think when men don't follow through, this is why we have masculine women. Because when a man keeps saying, I'm going to do.
And they don't do. Women are like, I'm going to go do it myself. Yeah, that's right.
And then when I have to do it myself, and I know I can do it myself, and you made me get up and do it myself, I lose all respect for you. And if a woman cannot respect a man, intaha.
You want to know one of the big things, honestly, that I think ruined the whole thing?
Feminism?
Not really that. One of the big things, even in all our culture in general, is this thing of getting married late. Everyone now is just like, get married at 30. That's what I hear from everyone, including my parents. Huh? It's like, no, you're too young. Get married at 30. Get married at 33. Get married at 34, at 35. And it's like, all of this would have been so long gone if I got married at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Because it's now this new thing where it's like, oh, this is the new culture. When it shouldn't be. When honestly, I don't agree with it. And a lot of these girls, you know what? You know, a lot of these girls, you know, you'll talk to them and that's their mentality now. Like, they want to get married when they're 30. That's and great. I think it's the same for men and women. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right for a man to get married at 30 to some girl that's 18.
Yeah.
In family. Like, I think there could be an age gap and everything. But no, it's okay if they get married when he's 22 and she's 19. When he's 23 and she's 20 or whatever, you know? Like, around the same age with some small age gap or whatever it may be.
But enough in common to make it work.
Exactly. So, like, getting married young is a sunnah. It's something that should be, honestly, I think it's something that, like, we should make that, I don't know, cool again or good again.
Bring
or whatever, whatever it is, you know. I'm one to talk. I'm 24 and I'm still not married. Yani. I'm 23, 24. I'm still not married. But you see that reaction right away. It's like yeah. I'm not married yet. My mom keeps telling me to wait. My dad keeps telling me to wait.
No, but I want you to get married. But you're saying you're 24 and you're not married. I'm like, I'm turning 30.
You know, yeah. But that's Layla. You're a very strong woman. Honestly. It's not easy for any man to just come and be like, yeah, very insecure men will not be able to handle you. And most men are very insecure.
I agree.
Bidhum, like, you need somebody, get halo.
I agree.
And you need somebody that can be able to, you know, like, I think you've said it before. You want somebody to be able to come and lead and be like the man of the household and be the man of the household. And those are rare. It's not easy.
They are.
But it'll come. It'll come, bi-idhnillah. You know?
Inshallah, yeah, of course. I'm not in a rush. Relax. I think what Allah has planned is the best of plans.
Yes, exactly. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
But yeah, no, just to wrap up what we're saying,
yeah.
I fully agree. I think we need to make Get Married Young
cool again.
Honestly, it needs to be made cool again.
It should
again.
Be, because this whole thing of, oh no, I need to get my life in order and then I'll get married is, by the way, like, on,
it's
like,
not a Muslim thing. I've said this.
If you're saying this and you're not Muslim, great. Like,
good
sure,
for you. Love that.
Sure,
for
that can be you. That can be your life. But like, as a Muslim that says that you're Muslim and that wants to follow Islam, it's not
I've
a part of the deen.
I've said this before when I used to watch those podcasts, because a lot of these male podcasters came out and they came out real quick, real fast. And I got lost in the sauce. And then I took a step back and I was like, wait. Because they all talk about, you know, go make your money, go become really rich before you get married. And then I was like, wait, the Prophet alayhi salat salam wasn't incredibly rich when he married his first wife, Khadija alayhi salam, radiallahu anha. He just wasn't. What did I say alayhi salam?
It's whatever. It's the same. It's honestly, they're all his family.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But anyway, so I just went back to Islam. But the reason why I wanted to say as well that I really think we should make being married young cool again. Cool. Because even psychologically speaking, this is just a fact. that men who get married perform better career-wise. They achieve more because that pressure as a man, your manhood, this is your ghariza, your instinct, that I have a woman that I need to cater for. I need to provide. I need to protect. I need to make sure she's taken care of. I need to make sure that even if I am gone, she is safe and my legacy is preserved.
Yeah.
It fuels a man like no other. When we're pushing marriage to 30, 35, 40, and we're letting that ghariza be wasted with lustful lifestyles and being lost, it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, you're completely right. And you know,
I always am.
And you know this thing about you should get really rich and then you should get married. Most of the time, that's not they're looking for a different type of relationship. They're looking for a different type of relationship. You should get really, really rich and then find out that's not the way it works. That's not what a wife generally a wife is there to help you.
You're not gonna find a wife. You're not gonna find a homemaker.
It's exactly a homemaker. You said it yourself, maker. That means she needs to, like, you guys need to make something together and build something together.
Mm.
So even the wealth, even the whole thing, you build it together. You build it as a team.
I agree.
It's partner.
I agree.
For life.
For life.
She partner for life.
She mashari for life.
And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think honestly, like, men in general, also men in our culture, have this really off look on marriage. Like, and it's really like just like you said, we need to bring back the sunnah, which is married young.
I agree.
You know, but take care of your wife. Be kind to your wife.
But do you know why men now have a different view on marriage? Because of how we've been impacted by the West and this whole not following what was initially intended and getting married young and saying you need to be super filthy rich before you get married, which is...
Or have lots of experiences before getting married.
Do you know what happens when you then want to get married and try to find a wife? Number one, you're unable to find a homemaker because you cannot create together anymore.
Yeah.
Number two, you have the Madonna complex that arises. And men who have been around town every day of the week and twice on Sunday, twice on God's day, okay? They have a Madonna complex. Do you know what a Madonna complex is?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's when my wife is the Madonna virgin, you know what I mean? So I have to hay'im al-ulad. So then I can't do certain things with her or whatever, so then I will go do what I want to do with whores.
Yeah.
Because I can't... Do you get what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying.
And this is very common. Do you know how I found out about this? From one of my friends. He went out. He went to Jordan for a wedding. He came back. He was so shocked. He was like, Layla, the way these boys were talking at the bachelor party. Like, khalas, when I'm married, no, I can't do this with my wife and I can't do that because this is umlulad. But and then he was trying to explain to them, like, no, your wife, you have a duty towards your wife. Yeah. You have responsibilities. This is in Islam. This is... You know what I mean? You can't do that.
You know that's this whole, you know, we could talk about this for hours.
So we can do another episode?
Maybe.
Guys,
maybe,
can you tell Zima to come back? Because it took a lot to get him on this couch. I have to give Agat a little shout out for getting him on this couch. Because she reassured him.
Yes. Yes, she did. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Ah. Abu. Okay. No, we're wrapping up. But that's how you wrap up?
I should wrap up.
Say
up.
Say it to some.
To what?
My brother, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, let us know in the comments. I've never done the let us know in the comments, but I do want you guys to let us know in the comments what you think because it's the first time my brother's been on the show and I really wanted him to be on camera, but he's a little camera shy, but I think you did really well.
Thank you.
I think you spoke very, very well. You were even a natural on the microphone. God knows I wasn't my first time.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No. You have such a punchable face. It's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you, Zima, for being here. I really, really appreciate it. This was a lovely conversation.
It really was.
I'm very proud of you.
Proud of you
become
too.
Become a very beautiful man, a very handsome man, a very dapper man, well-rounded man. Just a man.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I really
love what you're doing here. I really love what you're doing here, and I really hope it gives people, young women, even young men, first step into
Alhamdulillah, just into
Deen, into Islam, into Chala. You know. I really hope so. Chala, you know.
Ya Rab.
you know, very approachable, you know. You're very approachable, so that's what's beautiful, you know.
You are maybe the first person who said I'm approachable.
Honestly, in this whole conversation, I just feel like it's very approachable. I feel like it's something people can listen to without having any background in Islam, any background in deen.
I agree.
And just listen and be like, oh, I can relate to this. I don't agree with this, you know. Like, and khalas, and get the conversation going inside them, you know. And get the research going, just like we said, ikra. Because at least get them to go read. Because we might say something that's not fully correct. No one's saying here that we're teachers of deen or that we're shuyukh.
Of course.
So if something wrong, please by all means correct. But if there's something, you know, right.
Oh, don't worry.
You get corrected, don't worry. They, and if there's something right, but that's fine because you're also learning. You're not here saying that you're like the master, you know, teacher of Islam. Absolutely. You're here learning also, you know.
This is true.
You know, you're trying to learn this hadith in Arabic. You're trying to learn, you know, and this you know, these ayat in Arabic also.
This is true.
You know, not easy. So good on you, and I hope that gives everyone the first step to being like, I can do this too. You know, I don't have to have this perfect everything to do it.
Of course.
Just start somewhere.
Alhamdulillah. I'm so sleepy.
Okay. Me too. Yalla.
All right. No, I need to wrap this up.
Yalla, good night, guys.
No, I have to say, Chumasul. Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Zima, thank you for being here. And inshallah, I will release this episode literally tomorrow. I'm so excited. And then that's it.
Thank you so much. Alaykum. Bye bye.
Wa alaykum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yalla, fi amanillah. Bye, guys.